Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. Our next guests are here to talk about a concert tomorrow night at Northern Light United Church. It'll feature the music of Mozart and Francesca LeBrun. Did I get that right, Todd?
Great. I'm so proud.
That's the voice of Todd Hunt. He's the artistic director at the Orpheus Project. And also we have pianist Byron Shankman in from Seattle and Jesse Irons, a violin player in from Boston. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Pleased to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. Todd, do you want to set this up for us?
Yeah, sure. Well, just like you said, there's this concert tomorrow night at Northern Light at 7:30. It's going to be a beautiful night of violin sonatas performed by these two wonderful musicians who are making this stop in Juneau before they do this same recital in Benaroya Hall in Seattle Sunday, right? Yeah.
And how did you find these wonderful musicians?
So actually, our producer, Judy Skagerberg, did. And she came to me with this idea and said, hey, do you think that this kind of thing could fly? And I was like, well, of course it can. Let's put it together and make it happen. And so I've done a little bit of work and Judy's done most of the work to make this happen. Okay. So we're really pleased that it's working out.
Byron, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Byron Shankman. I have a chamber music series in Seattle that's called Byron Shankman and Friends. It's Baroque and classical chamber music. With the idea of music as something that builds community, that brings people together. So both on stage, you know, gathering a small group of people, in this case, two of us, who enjoy being together and enjoy making music together, and then also connecting with the audience and helping build community, just creating a good feeling with all the people in the room and a sort of a connection through music.
Okay. Thank you. How about you, Jesse?
Yeah. Well, my name is Jesse Irons, a violinist, and I'm based in Boston, which is a long way from Seattle, but Byron and I have had the good fortune to play together a number of times over the years and just really built a great kind of musical connection, and I was just so pleased to get this opportunity to play some of the most beautiful music that's out there. That's a little bit, I would say, not heard enough. Mozart is, of course, extremely famous as a writer of orchestral music, as a writer of operas. But the small chamber music, these violin sonatas, are just equally inspired. And I've had a great time learning them, working on them with Byron, as well as getting to know this composer who's new to me, Francesca LeBrun, who Byron actually found and brought to me. And we read a number of her sonatas, and we picked this one that we identified with.
Got it. I'm not a classical music buff, so please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I often think of chamber music played as like a quartet, maybe?
But yeah, it's usually like it could be between two and, say, seven or eight players.
Okay.
One of the things that distinguishes what we call chamber music from orchestral music is that each player is the only person playing that particular part. So when you go to an orchestra concert, you might see, 20 or 30 violinists up there and all playing the same part together and relying, of course, on a conductor to keep the whole thing together and create an interpretation. When there are only, like in this case, two of us, it's really like a conversation between the two of us because we're each just the only one playing our part.
Is that more challenging?
It's challenging in a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, I find it really fun. Really enjoyable. It allows us to be spontaneous in the moment because if you are one of 10 or 20 violinists, you have to play exactly what you see on the page because you can't use your own imagination because your imagination is not going to be the same as the 19 other people playing with you. But when there are just two of us, if Jesse in the moment decides to do something different than he's ever done before, I can listen to that and respond to it and react to it with something equally different.
All right. Interesting. Improvisational.
There is definitely some improvisation.
Were you, Byron, the one who came across the music of Francesca LeBrun?
Yeah, I've been really interested in championing, that's a hard word to say, championing music by women composers, because when I was a student and growing up and going to concerts, I didn't know that women ever had written music because I never heard anybody play anything by women. So I thought they didn't. And then it was when I was in grad school, I was asked to play in a cantata by a early 18th century French composer named Elisabeth Jacquet de la Guerre. And it was this amazing major work by a composer that I discovered was a major composer of that period that just had been left out of history books and anthologies. So I started scoping around and found that there are a lot of composers, even ones who were successful and famous and made lots of money in their own time, who just have been kind of ignored. So it's been a challenge of mine lately to try to, whatever program I'm doing, to try to see if I can find something. And it happens that Francesca LeBrun is an exact contemporary of Mozart. It had the same short life.
Got it.
From 1756 to 1791. So it seemed like, well, okay, the plan was to do all Mozart sonatas. And then I said, well, why don't we just put in one sonata by someone else from the same period?
Jesse, it sounds like Byron introduced you to Francesca's music.
Yes.
Is that right? When you first saw it or as you dug into it, how would you characterize it for our listeners? What's it like?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it's typical of classical violin piano sonatas in that, luckily for me, the piano part kind of carries the weight. And in a lot of ways, my job as the violinist is actually to accompany Byron, who's usually carrying the tune on the piano, or sometimes we'll play the tune together in unison. But Byron was telling me that this is and I'm not a music historian, but that this is very, very typical of music from that period, because it's actually a well-educated lady would very typically learn the piano and perhaps get quite accomplished at it, and then her suitors would typically play a stringed instrument and perhaps not be particularly accomplished. So this is why the violin part is relatively simple compared to the and it makes for a great a contrast with Mozart. We're much more familiar with Mozart, but Mozart was doing something actually rather radical by equally sharing out the tunes between the violin and the piano. That it's much more kind of co-equal roles.
All right, Byron. Earlier, you talked about building community through music. You'll be playing tomorrow night at Northern Light United Church, which is a great place for community here in Juneau. What can listeners expect from the two of you? Will you be talking about the songs like you are today, or will it be a quiet atmosphere? What do you expect?
Definitely we'll do a little bit of talking with the audience. It's nice to talk between pieces. I also think it's really kind of special in our modern times to have, an hour and a half or so when people are sitting together in a room, not looking at their devices and not all off in their own little isolated worlds, but actually everybody together focusing on one thing, which is listening to this beautiful music, which has a lot of vivacity and charm in it. One of the reasons that I like music from this particular period is that composers like Mozart were really conscious of wanting to make music that would be completely accessible to listeners who don't know anything about it, but also interesting to people who have been studying it all their lives. So this is music that you don't need to prepare in advance to come in and hear it. You can come and you'll hear beautiful melodies and virtuosity on both instruments and even humor, little quirky things where Mozart will set up a particular expectation you know, do repeat the same thing several times, but then suddenly stop in the middle of it. And so, you know, I think it's kind of refreshing and also just kind of a peaceful activity.
Interesting. Jesse, this may be a silly question, but perhaps could you describe to our listeners maybe one of your favorite songs that you'll be playing tomorrow night and maybe a part within that song that draws you to it?
Yeah. Well, gosh, it's really difficult to choose between the music as far as a favorite. But there are certainly moments that are just extremely beautiful. There's one rather sad slow movement of one of the Mozart sonatas. I can't remember which one, Byron, if you recognize it as I'm describing it.
I think you're thinking of the slow movement of the E-flat sonata.
Probably.
That G minor movement.
Yeah. And it's not going to make you sad to listen to. It's kind of that beautiful,
like kind of wistful.
Wistful, yeah. Kind of regretful almost music. And I do some tunes and Byron plays some tunes and then we come together and play a tune in harmony at the end of each half of this particular song. And what gets me is the first time we are together playing this very beautiful tune in harmony perfectly together. And then the second time, just before the piece ends,
you reject me. Well, you abandon me.
there's a moment where you expect us to play together, and suddenly it's only Byron alone, and there's something so, it's just a tiny detail that really gets me, and I hope that it gets our audience tomorrow night.
A little moment of heartbreak.
Yes.
And then it goes from that, you know, we get to the end of that movement, that part of the sonata, and then it goes into a fast movement that's just totally goofy and sort of a little bit of like a hoedown at the barn kind of thing. So it's like, never mind, everything's fine.
Sounds like fun. Todd, can you give us the details
again,
please?
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, it is tomorrow night, the 15th of March, 7:30, Northern Light Church. Tickets are available at the usual locations. So we've got Hearthside Books and the Jack. You can also get them online at orpheusproject.org. Yeah.
What's the cost for a ticket?
Oh, ticket cost. That is general admission is $30. Seniors are $25 and students are $10.
All right. And this is, again, tomorrow night, Friday, 7:30.
Yeah. And there's also a workshop on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. If we have time, maybe talk just real quickly about what that's
should come to this? Is this for advanced players, intermediate, beginners?
Well, I think really anybody who's interested in violin and piano music would be welcome
at all
to come. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's true. Players of other instruments as well. We're going to talk a little bit about some different styles of classical music, Baroque and classical and romantic, and how we approach different kinds of music.
Mm-hmm. Fun. And where is that again?
That's at Northern Light, again at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. And it's it's $10, right, Judy? Yeah. Yeah. $10. And so I think it'd be super interesting for anybody, even if you just sort of love music and you want to hear what goes into that, even if you don't play an instrument.
And how long will that class go for?
It's an hour and a half, something like that.
All right. Yeah. That's Saturday morning at 10.
Yeah.
Northern Light United Church or Friday night at 7:30. Meet Byron Shankman, pianist.
Yeah. Oh, and we'll have a reception afterwards, too, so you can literally meet the
performance. So we can eat and drink.
That's right.
And Jesse
and
Irons.
Be merry.
And
yeah.
be merry.
And
yes.
make, build community.
Right.
And build community. Exactly. Be sad and have a hoedown.
All of that. What more could you want?
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun, you guys. Thanks for coming on the show. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I think we covered it.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you.